Hello and a very warm welcome to Political Economy with Shweta Punj. This week, we are talking about the state of Haryana. Haryana is one of India's most progressive and industrialized states. Yet, in the last decade or so, while the state has progressed, it has not been able to reinvent itself. More than that, Haryana goes to polls very soon, and it looks like the anti-incumbency factor might be at play and that the BJP might not be coming back to power in the state of Haryana. To take a look, to do a deep dive into what are the political factors, the economic factors at play in the state of Haryana, the lessons for the BJP that emerge from the state of Haryana. Of course, this is all at the moment based on surveys and research, and the Indian voter can surprise us at any time. But just to get a deep dive and a perspective on the state of Haryana, how Haryana can vote, which way the winds will blow, I have with me two veterans who have covered and really analyzed several elections. I have with me Mr. Yashwant Deshmukh of Sea Voter and Mr. Gaurav Chaudhary, consulting editor, Network 18. Now, Gaurav and Yashwant have tracked multiple elections over several decades. And, you know, these elections are significant because they're coming right after general elections. JNK goes to vote today, first phase. Haryana is supposed to be a state where BJP is still putting up a fight. So, Yashwant, let me begin by asking you, you know, how challenging is it looking for the BJP in the state of Haryana at this point?
Well, Shweta, it's, I mean, challenging in a way that I believe that their wall is right on, back is right on the wall. I mean, in that way, because I don't think anything out there is in an equation which I would say is in their control or working in their favor. Let's start with the 10 years incumbency. I mean, obviously 10 years is a really long time. Arguably, sure, in our Mood of the Nation tracker, Haryana government and the Haryana chief minister, the previous one particularly, was not rated as a very, very highly appreciated chief minister. Let me put it this way, you know.
Okay.
However, they managed to win the last assembly election simply because of the Jat versus non-Jat dynamics of the Haryana politics, and also the fact that the anti-BJP votes actually got distributed between the local parties as well. But having said that, this time, after even with the new chief minister hasn't been really able to kind of turn the tables around. Number one, 10 years long anti-incumbency is taking the toll. Number two, number three, in the recent Lok Sabha election, actually forget about the 5-5 scoreboard of Congress versus the BJP. The real story was that Congress Aam Aadmi Party, the total opposition vote was actually more than the BJP. And as we know, Shweta, that in the assembly elections, whenever you see the low vote share of the BJP assembly versus the Lok Sabha, in Lok Sabha, BJP used to enjoy almost 10 to 20% of the Modi dividend across all the elections, if you in the last 10 years, if you look at history. And if you remember, 5 years back, in the Lok Sabha election, BJP polled more than 50% and crashed down big time in the assembly election within 6 months. So, if you are looking at the baseline of 45% that BJP approximately got in the Lok Sabha elections now, you are looking roughly about a crashing down of 10% in the same way. And that doesn't look put the BJP in a very comfortable situation. So, without the Modi dividend, with the 10 years incumbency and the chief ministerial phase, which is not really charismatic as such, I mean, as, till now, there is no charisma at all. On the other hand, Hooda has firmly, you know, put across the grip within the party, outside the party. So much so that Kumari Sailja and Surjewala faction, they could not do much, you know, in the ticket distribution. And the BJP's only game now seems to be around the possibility of the opposition votes getting, you know, disintegrated like last time with the two other alliances coming into play. One is the JJP and Chandrasekhar Azad. One is the INLD and BSP, and you know. So that's their only hope.
Okay. And when you have,
rather than your performance, but hope more on how the opposition will be faltering at their end, that is not a very promising note to start.
Okay, what would be a respectable number for them? 37 seats in Haryana, of which they are banking on the OBC vote, which is about 20 seats, if I'm not correct. About 30% of the voters are OBC. So how is it looking for them in those seats, Mr. Deshmukh? Do you think they'll be able to, what the OBC vote that they are banking on, they'll be able to make headway there?
Well, I think what they are hoping against all odds is that somehow the Congress will not be able to, Congress is not able to cross the majority number. It's a hung assembly like last time. And then they try to win back the JJP and INLD factions on the ground of them being anti-Congress to start with, you know, and then form the government. It's a tall task, I would say, because I mean, 30 years of my profession, I understand only one thing. All traditional equationing and everything, they work till the point of time, public is unclear. And if the public has made the mood to change, then I don't really think that mood is kind of it gets fractured or deflected and in any way. Very rarely we have seen in particularly last 20 years, some clear state throwing up a very unclear hung assembly or hung verdict.
Right.
Let
me bring in Gaurav here. Gaurav, 10 years in a state, and Haryana is an industrialized state. It's one of the most progressive states. Its proximity to Delhi, Gurgaon is considered to be the business capital, one of the business capitals of India. You have all the global MNCs there. So, and, you know, Modi government, that Modi dividend is the development card that has all often, you know, been campaigned, and that's the main focus of many of BJP's campaigns. So just take us through Haryana's development trajectory in the last decade. I mean, will it be jobs versus jats this time around? Do you think the government, I mean, can the government go back to voters saying that, you know, we brought in these many jobs, we've raised your income by this percentage, and this is why you should vote for us?
No, clearly, I mean, a couple of things. One on what Mr. Deshmukh has already said, just to reiterate, it has moved towards, increasingly Haryana is now a bipolar polity, which is a departure from what we had seen even in the previous election in 2019 and also prior to that. It's now between the BJP and the Congress. The Aam Aadmi Party, many were saying, or, you know, there was some there was some expectation that the Aam Aadmi Party will probably become a player in Haryana politics this time around, but that doesn't seem to be the case as of now, regardless of the fact that Mr. Kejriwal is out of jail and also has resigned as the chief minister. That opens up, frees up a lot of political bandwidth for him to actually focus in Haryana. But that doesn't seem to be happening, at least from the reports that we are getting. On the economic side, on the financial side, and on the fiscal management side, I think Haryana remains, if you do a very dispassionate objective analysis, Haryana remains among India's better managed states fiscally. If you look at its gross state domestic product, it's about 3.25 lakh annually per capita, which is better than the national average. It grew about 8% last year. Its GSDP at constant prices grew about 8% last year. That's quite good, given the fact that nationally India grew about 8.2%. There are, however, a few red flags, for instance, which I think the government itself has noticed. So if you look at the last budget, that is the 24-25 budget, which was presented before the elections were due, the two things stand out, which the government, probably the state government, believes could arrest any kind of slide, particularly among the farmers. There is one thing that the government has done, is that with effect from April 1, 2024, the charges that were levied on use of canal water, essentially irrigation charges, have been have been done away with. So that has been stopped, which means that the annual relief of about 58 crore, and this spreads across about 4,300 villages, clearly that is something that the government believes that they have to do something to bring the farming community, because Haryana and Punjab were at the forefront of the farmers' agitation, which is protesting at Delhi's borders for about 1.5 years, which we see. So this is one thing that could play out politically, and which the government, probably also the BJP government, probably also anticipates, and that is why that has been done. Also, on another thing that the government has done is that, you know, there's something called the Chirayu Ayushman Bharat scheme, which will now be expanded to families to above rupees 3 lakh rupees with an income of above rupees. Earlier, it was only those families who had an annual income of less than 3 lakh rupees were eligible for it. So now that has been expanded to families beyond that threshold too. Clearly, the government is worried that the farming community could be the decisive factor here, so far as the BJP is concerned, because now also, as Mr. Deshmukh said, this time around, the Modi factor is not as potent as it was in 2019 and also in 2014. In 2019, if you see in the run-up to the elections, there was figures that were floating around that the BJP could end up getting actually 75 seats. It ended up getting 40-odd seats, and it required the JJP to form the government. This time, the figure that is going around for the Congress is that they could get about 65 seats. But you never know with Haryana party, because if you speak to anyone in Haryana, they will say that the politics is determined by both sides of the GT road, that is the Grand Trunk Road and GT Karnal Road. And so depending on how things shape out there is going to be the key determinant. But as of now, it appears the Congress has an edge.
Right. So also interestingly, yesterday there was a paper by Mr. Sanjeev Sanyal on the state of finances. And in Haryana, what Mr. Sanyal has reported is that Haryana actually has the fourth highest per capita income amongst the major states. So, so going by that, and if you compare Haryana with Punjab, Haryana's state has done much better from an economic perspective. But, I'd like to bring in Mr. Deshmukh also on this. So a series of policies and schemes that have been announced in the last few years, whether it's Agnipath, whether it is the farmer agitation, like Gaurav pointed out, Haryana was a big center point for that agitation. So are all these policies also coming back to bite the BJP when it comes to Haryana? Because we've seen, parties beat anti-incumbency as well. Whether you look at Odisha, that it did that very beautifully. Prime Minister Modi has done that in Gujarat. So, so in this particular case, these policies have been a bit of a self goal for the BJP, especially in the state of Haryana.
I think more than the policies is the implementation of the policies or the perceived implementation. I am a business of mapping the perceptions, and more often than not I find, Shita, that the problem arises. And as you rightly pointed out, that this indeed has been a pro-incumbency century so far, because the chief minister or prime ministers have been seen as a proactive CEO mode, hands-on management style kind of thing, and if they were perceived as guys who have been at least giving it a try, voters have owned up even their failures, and we have a series of chief ministers across India on both the sides of the political ideologies who have won mandate after mandate, and there is no less number. So the problem arises where this narrative of the double engine came in, because I don't see in India today, see voter MOTN that we have been tracking biannually. If you look into the top performing chief ministers, till recently, hardly two of them belong to the BJP in the top 10, and one was Himanta Biswa Sarma and one was Mr. Yogi. So basically, if the BJP's narrative of the double engine Sarkars, Shweta, the one engine was actually on the other side of the train, running on the other direction. It was only the engine of popularity of Prime Minister, which was chugging the plane along. So only two states were looking at that. So I think that's a problem that BJP has in hand, because they centralized the decision-making process so much that they forgot that if they want to look at the second engine not as a liability but an asset, then the second engine has to be at least in the neutral gear, if not in the reverse gear. So that is something which they need to take care of. As a larger political equationing, I'm saying. Haryana, actually, on the other end, as Gaurav just pointed out, that it got lucky in a way that it didn't go in the mess that Punjab is today for various reasons, you know. And of course, if you look into it, like all the IT capital hubs, be it Hyderabad, be it Karnataka, be it Haryana, and like that, or to a certain extent, even Uttar Pradesh, you have a duality of kind of economy where, you know, you pick out Bengaluru region or Hyderabad region or Gurgaon region or Noida region from these states. And then you see that rest of the state is actually not doing that well that it looks on the in the bottom line, of the sheet. So there is something in the agrarian economy side with the larger policy level planning and implementation that has to be taken care. It's not just the state specific. Haryana has, by the way, another different thing. But when we do our trackers in the occupation section, we do map the land owning farmers and the landless agricultural labor. So far, we have seen a term called migrant labor, seasonal migrant labor, which is very normal. Haryana has a different category of migrant contractors because after selling off the lands in the infrastructure development, big number of Haryana people have actually purchased land in other states. So they are migrants in a way, but in a different way. They are not landless agricultural labor who go for a migration. They are now land-only migration people. But they have land in some other place which they are probably unable to manage. And that is that particular state having their own policy level implementation on their land. So it's way more complicated than many of us would like to believe. It is easier to understand. Haryana is definitely a richer state. But richer, you say, when you compare it to the farming community of other states, maybe Western UP will have a much more comparable numbers in that way. But the problem that Haryana faces is, as Gaurav said, they are very unique. At the same time, they are pretty much a big chunk of them is a universal of sort as far as India's agricultural economy is concerned.
Fair enough. Absolutely. Let me also bring in Gaurav here. Gaurav, you know, if you look at Haryana's growth trajectory, right? It emerged as a hub for auto components, automobiles. Right. Beyond that, it has not been able to grow. If you compare it with the southern states, if you look at what Tamil Nadu has done and now what's happening in Andhra Pradesh and so on, they have not been able to capture the new economy industries. And I think somewhere that they've not been imaginative from that perspective.
No, absolutely. I think for Haryana, as Yashwan said, Gurgaon remains the jewel in the crown. So take Gurgaon out of Haryana, I think most of the metrics will not look as encouraging as they're looking now, including the per capita GDP. So there's a big bump in the per capita GDP because the average GDP has been pulled up by people working and living in Gurgaon. And because you have all the Fortune 500 companies there and it is generating a lot of income. But having said that, beyond Gurgaon, as you said, there has not been much that Haryana has been able to create over the last 15, 20 years. It's not just the last 10-year problem. It's over the last 15, 20 years. Haryana was and continues to remain an agrarian state. But that said, it's a bit of a paradox of sorts because Haryana has Gurgaon and Haryana is also India's one of the grain bowls of India. So if you have to grow Haryana, you cannot just focus on only growing Gurgaon, where you have a situation where
been given just to the private developers completely.
Correct.
From electricity to water, everything is handed over to the private developers. The role of the state is completely very, very, I think it's diminished to quite an extent.
Absolutely. And also, if you in Gurgaon, for instance, you have a situation where people are buying 100 crore flats or 50 crore, 35 crore apartments, and those are being sold out in two days or so. But you also have situations where beyond Gurgaon, nothing much has been able to, the government has not been able to showcase. That's And the BJP probably realized that anti-incumbency will be a big factor. That is why we saw a change in the chief minister, which was unexpected. No one would have expected Mr. Manohar Lal to be removed and replaced by someone else as just 6, 7, 8 months before Haryana were to go to elections, state elections. Right. He contested the Lok Sabha elections. He is now a minister in the Modi cabinet. A change in the chief minister other things remaining same, can be taken as a sign that the incumbent party, which is the BJP, probably thinks there is some question on leadership that the voters are raising and that needs to be arrested. It's going to be interesting to see to what extent that the BJP has been able to manage by a change in leadership, a change in the chief minister. Haryana's problem is that Haryana is surrounded on the one side by Punjab and on the other side by Delhi. So Haryana has to, and only as it's often said in Haryana as a joke, of course, that the Haryana's only hill station is something called Morni Hills, which is just off Panchkula. And Haryana's biggest thing was to come out with the concept of highway tourism. But beyond that, Haryana has to, if the highways were not passing through Haryana, probably the development that we see in Haryana now, even that would not have been possible. So on the one side, you have Gurgaon, on the other side, everything is dependent on which side of the highway you are. I think Haryana now needs a new economic model, which is of its entirety. Because it's landlocked. Gurgaon is no longer an automobile hub. Gurgaon is a service-driven hub. It's a very efficient services center. But beyond that, Gurgaon needs to create jobs by the thousands, and it has not been able to do that. So those will come from factories. Those will come from various other sectors that the government or whoever comes to power will have to focus on.
Absolutely. Talking about perception, so there's this one Gurgaon perception. Shows have been made, films have been made talking about the great disparity that Gurgaon has come to represent. But, Mr. Deshmukh, if you look at the way the government handled the wrestlers' protests, and you look at Haryana, I mean, Haryana is the state which sends its daughters into this profession, and then you have Vinesh Fogat who's come back and joined politics. That I think should have been handled far more tactfully, and that's probably also a hurt BJP's perception in the state.
Absolutely, not just state, across other states as well. I think, and by the way, that perception, battle of perception, had nothing to do with Vinesh Fogat reaching the finals or, the sympathy around that. It was right from the day one when they were trying to tell their story, then they were trying to narrate a point that, okay, this is something is wrong. This guy is wrong. I mean, let the court decide. I understand that there are two sides of each and every coin, indeed. And now that Vinesh has joined politics, of course, many more questions are going to be raised on the allegations and everything. But having said that, all them, from Sakshi Malik to Vinesh and everybody in between, I mean, first of all, this India is very different what it used to be before Nirbhaya happened. All right. Absolutely. The sensitivities and the news, the way news and the social media, the way it creates the impact on that, you can actually put your IT team only to a certain extent to nullify the what is being trending or not. But as far as the common Indian is concerned, their heart is pretty much in the right place. That, on the female violence or the gender inequality or the question of the women's security, there is a boundary, as we call as a Lakshman Rekha, what is right and what is not right. Simple as that. And if a finger has been raised, then it has to be seen with utmost carefulness and sensitivity. And thou shall not come out as been seen as insensitive, disrespectful, and like that, And I think in that area, BJP, which otherwise is seen as the party which controls the internet and environment and the narrative around that, I think they faltered big time. I don't know why and how and where the narrative went completely out of their hand, no matter how hard they tried. And
because
just,
you cannot control everything.
They just could not control it.
Yeah.
You cannot control.
And I think somewhere there needs to be that realization that needs to set in, that you cannot control everything. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think to a large extent, exactly the same thing happened with Mamata Banerjee. You know, that overconfidence that, okay, aisa kuch nahi hai, and people will say yes to whatever I say or we say, you know, without realizing that these are sensitive issues. Once people are hit with this thing, you know, their system gets rebooted, regardless of their party affiliation, regardless of their fondness for any leader or not. So I think what happened on the wrestlers thing with BJP happened exactly the same way. Exactly.
Was Brij Bhushan really worth it? You know, it really makes me wonder, was Brij Bhushan really worth this? Because, you know, the messaging that goes out when a government behaves like this or acts like this with women who've brought so much glory to the country is that, as a woman, I feel like if this can happen with somebody who has brought so much name to our nation, then how safe or how respected are we as just regular women? You know, it's just the whole insensitivity. I think that will not be forgotten for quite some time.
Well, you know what? In politics, they say, yes, they have to make a calculation, the kind of risk and the thing that they take. But at the end of the day, it's not the other parties who coined the term that we are party with a difference. It's the BJP who said that we are the party with the difference.
That's right.
Yes. You said it yourself that you are a party with difference. You said it yourself that, you know, you will bring down that morality of, you know, how to behave in politics and public life. And you are a party which follows Lord Rama's line that even if a finger is raised, then you have to follow the line of Maryada. And Maryada said that regardless of your profit and loss, you should have gone ahead and did the right thing. At least in the public perception. So you are yourself not living up to the image that you had drawn for yourself. So if somebody is a diehard follower of BJP, Modi, and the doctrine of party with a difference, so they were taken for a rude show. And then you double down on that with your IT cells and everything, painting all these wrestlers as somewhat as Congressy stooges, villains, and everything in between. I think that did not go down well with the huge, huge majority of the BJP supporters as well. Forget about Haryana. I think what BJP will realize at some point of time that this episode has costed them dearly, even more outside Haryana than in Haryana.
All right.
Wow. Okay, we are nearly out of time, but very quickly, how many seats are you projecting for the BJP, for the Congress party? Will Congress be able to form the government in Haryana? Are you expecting that?
Well, not to be given in the numbers thing, because, you know, vote and seat conversion is a tricky thing which we all learn again and again, and I have been raising a kind of red alarm for that. But broadly speaking, I can say that Congress is clearly having an edge in Haryana right now. They are in a very comfortable situation. Unless they spoil it by internal sabotage, by ensuring that different camps make sure that the ticket holders of other camps are, you know, pulled down in some way or the other, Congress should be crossing the majority line. And that's what it looks like as well.
So, but you don't see an impact of Mr. Gandhi's statements in Washington, D.C. on voting behavior in Haryana?
Well, I think people have got tuned to what Mr. Gandhi can bring along on table, good and bad and everything in between. Okay. I think this is more about Mr. Hooda and his leadership rather than Mr. Rahul Gandhi and his leadership.
That's right. So I think somewhere the Congress party has managed to make the party about the Gandhis, but this time around, you know, the state leadership has been so strong that it's not a Gandhi election, but a Hooda election. Gaurav, your closing comments on the big agenda, the big development agenda that whichever party comes into power will have to follow to make Haryana really a competitive, a forward-looking, a cutting-edge state.
See, Haryana is anyway, from an economic point of view, has always been a progressive state because it has Gurgaon, as we have discussed, and it has always had better than the national average of the infrastructure standards, particularly highways. But the problem for the new government, which I foresee, would be to meet expectations, because there's a lot of heightened expectations. There'll be a lot of also populist freebies that will come along. And as we all know, freebies announced, electoral freebies, are essentially nothing but promissory notes. And you have to fulfill those promissory notes. So we have seen Aam Aadmi Party, for instance, Sunita Kejriwal, go there and announce 5 Kejriwal ki guarantee. So that includes free electricity, free water, free, everything is free there, right? Free education. And we all know that there are no free lunches. So someone has to pay for that. So balancing the development agenda, which is medium term and short term, and at the same time trying to fulfill those promissory notes. And also the biggest thing for Haryana would be, like most states in India, is to how do you spin jobs and create jobs by the thousands and several thousands. That is not going to be easy, because jobs are not going to get created overnight. Creating jobs factories, etc. Yeah. So those expectations can actually weigh very, very heavy on whoever forms the government.
Right. And if we go by Congress's track record and what we've seen in other states where the Congress party has been in power, the freebie agenda has been very strong. But when it comes to a long-term thinking or a long-term view, I think the party can do a lot better.
That's right.
Seen that. Yeah.
They can do. And also, I mean, we'll also probably see farm loan waivers and other such, you know, promissory notes being encashed during and later after elections form, but those are not good fiscal management policies. And debt waivers are just that. You're waiving on debt, and who pays for the debt? Someone ends up paying for the debt. The banks are not running into losses. The government ends up paying the banks, and where does the government get the money from? So someone is paying for that. Not good. It's not good prudent fiscal management. But winning elections for the sake of elections and going and announcing freebies is something that parties will have to take a hard look at once they come to
power. Absolutely. So interesting times. We are, I think, very interesting election also to watch out for. Like we've just discussed, that it's Congress party does seem to have an edge, but the real challenge will begin from now onwards. And as Gaurav pointed out, that it's imperative for parties to not go down to the path of offering freebies for complete all-rounded development. That's very, very crucial. And Haryana is a state which is right adjacent to Delhi. So I'm personally very invested in how Haryana develops, because what happens in Haryana has a direct bearing on Delhi as well. So thank you very much. Of course, we'll keep tracking the state elections with Gaurav and Mr. Deshmukh. We hope to have him back here with us on Money Control more often and soon. Thank you so much. And may the best party win. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.